I'd like to thank the sponsors for today's share, an anonymous person in Miami Beach from Congregation Or HaChaim, as well as Rachel Dvorah Leibowitz, in honor of the yahrzeits of her father, Reuven ben Yaakov Halevi, and for her father-in-law, Aryeh Leib ben Sender Asher, Zichronam Levracha. When we talk about the holiday of Shavuos, there's a basic yesod that's brought down in the Sefer Sichot Yitzchak by Rav Meislish. And he notes in source number 4, V'nei matzinu b'sfarim ha'kadoshim she'fligu ma'od b'skulos yomim elu. These days have tremendous, tremendous power to them, a tremendous kolach to them. Asher b'chol shana v'shana chozer v'nishne kol inyanei kabbalos ha'torah. And what happens each and every year is the entire experience of kabbalos ha'torah is reenacted in the most general as well specific sense. All the Kedusha, all the Skulos, all the Shpos, in the Ruchnius, in the Gashmius, all comes v'nishpa aleinu mechadash and is brought to us anew each and every year. And as it's brought down in the name of Arizal, Shvachol Shana v'Shana v'Chagas Shavuos, every year on the holiday of Shavuos, mekabli manu haTorah, we receive the Torah, as the original time that Klal Yisrael received it at Mamad Har Sinai. And the Yesod Meshorash Avodah notes that the time of the Kabbalah Satorah is a time of Kriya Satorah. That's why it is a tremendous inyan if one's able to make it, men, women, and children, to come to Kriya Satorah and to have in mind that this is the time of the Kabbalah Satorah, the time of the receiving of the Torah. If we work with this principle in mind, that the receiving of the Torah is not just remembering what happened, but reenacting in all of its details that which was, reenacts and happens once again in our own lives. So I'd like to ask, where do we find two very specific details that were found at Mamad Har Sinai? Where do we find the corollary for our lives? And obviously it's going to have to be in a philosophical sense, and not in a literal sense. We're told, and this is source 1, that before the Jews received the Torah, they were told that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. They shall wash their clothing. Today, we've gone the Shloshim Mehagbala. Men and women needed to separate for 3 days. This was the inyan of Prisha. This was the inyan of separation. And then we have, as the Chumash continues to tell us, we have a tremendous emphasis on setting boundaries for the people around about, that they should not ascend the mountain or even touch its touch the mountain. And this is the inyan of Hagbalah, of setting a gvul, setting a boundary. So today we don't have a physical place called Mamad Har Sinai. We don't have this restriction of relationships between husband and wife, the 3 days of the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah. So where do we find the inyan of Prisha, the inyan of separation, and the inyan of Hagbalah, setting around boundaries? There's no mountain to tell us, don't go up these boundaries. How are they relevant for our lives? Those are the questions I'd like to focus in on the overall sense. Obviously, alongside those questions is probably the most important question, is how are we to access Chag HaShavuot for our own lives? How are we to tap in to what the holiday is about on the 1 or 2 days that we celebrate it, depending where we are, Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laaretz? And I think this question becomes even more of a central question to women, even more so than men to some extent. Because whether women learn the night of Shavuos or not, that's a question I'm not even going to enter into. But for sure, women who are home with little children don't have the ability to learn at night. They're making sure the next day that the children are quiet. Particularly in Eretz Yisrael, the Shavuos day goes by very fast. So the question is, if the learning of Torah, which seems to be Shavuos, is a reenactment of receiving the Torah. So if you're not learning Shavuos night, or even men who don't learn Shavuos night, it almost seems like they're missing out on the essence of what Yom Tov is about. So we need to understand, what is this Yentif about? Is it only the learning on Shavuos night? Or is there something much more to the Chag, to the holiday, that we need to be aware of and tap into? I'd like to preface these two levels of the Prisha and Agbala with first an understanding of a general sense to paint a background picture, so to speak, of what Shavuos is about, and then enter into the details of the holiday. And I'd like to preface our introduction by a wonderful mashal that I just read in a Musar Sefer, which has Ha'aros on the Chag, with an anonymous author. It's a likud of different ideas. And it gets a wonderful mashal. He says, imagine a person gets on a bus, pays his fare, and sits down. And the bus continues. A number of stops later, a younger individual gets on the bus, pays his fare, and there's an empty seat near the first individual, and he sits down. He gives him a shalom aleichem, a hello, and the two ride silently till their designated stops. Now, let's take two. Imagine that the first individual gets on the bus, and as he pays his fare and sits down on the bus, somebody taps him on the shoulder and says to him, you know, you've been through the war, and I know that you think that you've lost all contact with all your relatives, that no one survived. But let me tell you, in two steps from now, a young man is going to get on this bus, and he is your long-lost son, who you thought did not make it through the war. When that younger man gets on the bus and pays his fare, and gives him a shalom aleichem, not knowing it's his father, you can imagine the emotional reunion that there is between father and son. Two people sitting near each other on a bus, but the difference is immense when the father knows that his son is sitting next to him, that, and the son is told that this is your father, when they recognize the importance of the event, or when they are traveling silently side by side. Likewise, he notes, we can walk into Shavuos like mitzvot anashim ulumada, like habitual, like we've been doing year after year. We come to shul, we have our cheesecake, we read the Book of Rut, and we ride kivyachol side by side with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But if we were to understand the importance of the day, if we were to understand that this is the day of Aliyah LaRekel, when the Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak, is longing for his child to return to him, to have this close relationship, that a yontif is about this relationship of return, of panim al panim, of face to face. If the father is looking forward to the son, and the son is aware that this is his long-lost father, then we can make this festival not just an ordinary festival, but we have the ability to transform this festival into a time of meaning and a time of particular joy and connection. So with this introduction in mind, let's try to understand a bit the background of what is the emotional aspect of Shavuos. Rav Pinkus, in his Sefer on Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shavuos notes in Source 5, V'kasher magia Yehudi l'chag HaShavuot, when we reach this tremendous occasion of Shavuos, l'achar hachana ruya, after all the preparation, harei uaver t'chavaya ruchanit shamatan Torah, we undergo the tremendous experiential experience of Matan Torah, kipshuto, literally, b'tochei nishmato b'shuto. Matan Torah is not happening externally, it's happening within me. It's happening in the depth of my being. Hu margish b'kirbo et ha'ra'ada gedola. We feel the trembling that the Jewish people felt then at the time of Matan Torah. And he quotes the idea from Maseilas Yesharim, that the beginning, Tzilato Ishtadlus V'Sofo Matana. In the beginning, life is about working hard, and then it's a gift. That's the Hagdara, that's the definition of Shavuos. Hadam Itzido Mishtadel Mitkonein. We, from our part, put in our Ishtadlus, the 49 days of preparation, the Shloshim Agbala. I had the schus today of going with a group of almost 50 women to Mar Samach Pela, Kever Rut, and Kever Yishai, who are buried together, Kever Rachel, in a tremendous way, Shloshim Agbala, to prepare in Tefillah. There's a tremendous amount of kochos in the air. And then, Hadam Itzido Mishtadel Mitbonein, and then Chag HaShavuos is a matana, it's a gift. And what is the gift? HaTorah Kedosha, Shekiv Yochol Hashem Yisbarach Bechvodo Ba'atzma. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah, which is in a real sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving of himself. As Chazal say, the Kinyan Torah, Shekiv Yocho HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Liatachonet. It's as if we're acquiring HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's not just a book. It's not just, you know, something that we read from cover to cover. No! HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a manifestation of his essence in this Torah. That's what's being given over. And as Rav Nachman of Breslov in the Sefer L'malo Min HaZman describes in source number 2, that Chag HaShavuos is about not only weeks, but Shavua from the term of oath, of swearing. It's a time of a marriage, Kafal and Har Kigigis. As we know on the Shirashirim B'Yom Chatunato, on the day of God's marriage, Kivyochol, our rabbi said this is the day of the giving of the Torah. And God holding the mountain over our heads is like a chuppah. And we have a shvua, an oath. We swear to Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Hashem swears back to us that we will be a Mamlechus Kohanim, we will be a Goy Kadosh, we will be an Amskula, we will be a special nation. And the shtar, the contract between us, is this Torah. And that is why, after all of our preparations, the asterisks in 2, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyocho, Yored Hu La'olam HaShafel HaZeh, Hashem comes down to our world, and every year on the 50th day, just like he came down Har Sinai, U'megaled Avato Lebanav, and he gives over his love, his Torah, to his people. As we know in source 3, that the word Anochi, I, from the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is an acronym for Ana Nafshi Kasvis Yahaveh. Ani et Nafshi Katafti Venatati, says Hashem. It's as if I have given you over my soul in this Torah. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us over the Torah, he's giving over this tremendous love, he's giving over Kivyochol himself to us. That's the Matana Gnuza. Yes, it's enclosed in the Sefer Torah, in the halachos, in the whole essence of Torah. But you want to know what the soul of the Torah is about? You want to know what the essence of the Torah is about? It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down to each and every one of us as a form of love and having this personal, close relationship with each and every one of us. And the way the Likutei Maharan describes this in source number 8, he says, it says, if the Torah, which we know begins with the letter Beis and ends with the letter Lamed, which is the word late, L'rameis ki tarato milibo p'nimimto shel Hashem, the Torah is coming from the heart of Hashem, kivyochol. V'kama busha chash adam, can you imagine the embarrassment a person will feel? Kishu megale kol libo v'avato b'fnei re'ehu, that he, our friend, is giving over his love and expressing his love. V'halo notara adish v'kar, and the other person is cold and unresponsive. V'alzech haraf Hashem, and for this is what Hashem gets angry. Shachare giloy alev hazeh b'faneinu, lo itgalav l'vot imo, ava satorav simchatak yira'ui. And this is what the kli, this is what the vessel of receiving the Torah is about. This is what the response of Maman Har Sinai is about. It's about our enthusiasm, our passion to be able to receive this gift from Hashem. As a mashal, and I like to use this mashal throughout today, Mirtz Hashem, it's a mashal of a chassid and kala, bride and groom. You can imagine that a chassid walks into the cheder yichud, to the private, secluded room after the chuppah, and turns to the kala and says, I love you. And the kala doesn't respond. And he says, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. And she says, huh? Hello? What's going on here? This, my friends, is a mashal, it's a model that Likutei Maharan, that Rav Nachman is teaching us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochol every year comes down as the first time with passion, with joy, with excitement, with revealing. The revelation is really the revelation of Hashem's love to us. As the Ramban notes, the Aseret HaDibrot is written in the language of Yochi, to each and every individual, in singular. And can you imagine that we stand during Torah reading and we're talking to our neighbor and we're admiring somebody's hat or new Yontif outfit, or we're not even listening to Kriyat HaTorah? Can you imagine the adishut, the apathy that's found there? Our response has to be a kala. We are the kala on Shavuos. It's now time to prepare for wedding preparation. It's an emotional preparation that we have to respond by saying, there is nothing more beloved to me than to be able to accept a Kadosh Baruch Hu's gift, which is really the gift of Him Himself. And that's why it's brought down in the Sfarim HaKadoshim that there were certain yeshivas that would spend, after being up all night, 3 hours on one tefillah. And that tefillah is Ahava Rabbah. The Ahava Rabbah tefillah is the quintessential tefillah of Shavuos. It's about the love, the bracha before Shema. It's about how much we desire Hashem and how much we want to make Torah part and parcel of who and what we are. By investing in that tefillah, that's a way for us to express how, yes, we're not apathetic, we're not complacent, we're not lost in space, but yes, we want Torah. And yes, we want to have this relationship. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down and says, I want to give you of myself, our response is, we're waiting with bated breath because Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, we recognize how fortunate we are to have this ability to connect so personally with Hashem and His Torah, which is a manifestation of His Ratzon, of His will. Having said this, what are the specific aspects of being this kala? What is it incumbent upon us to do, to say, to think that we're ready to accept upon ourselves this relationship each and every year? So I think there are two aspects. Aspect number one is found in Sefer Chazon Lemoed, from Aryeh Leib HaKohen Shapira, who says the following, Shanino B'Yerushalmi in source number 9, B'chola Korbanos K'siv Chay, you find by the Korbanos that you have the idea of sin, the Seir Chatat Echad, the Seir Yizim Echad Chatat L'chaper, but U'Be'atzeret on Shavuos Ein K'siv Chatat Chay, it doesn't mention the concept of sin. Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Mekevan Shekibaltam Aleichem Ol Torah, once you've accepted upon yourself the yoke of Torah, I consider it as if you have never sinned. And this is why we don't find in the Musaf the idea of chait. And in a certain sense, he continues in source 10, based on Tikune Zohar and the arrow, Shekatav that tshuva shall seem to Shavuos kocha gadol yoter mibi Yom Kippur. To a certain extent, the tshuva of Shavuos is even higher than Yom Kippur. Shibayoma Kippurima Chuva Himiyira. On Yom Kippur, the Chuva is out of fear, out of awe. Vilubah Shavuos Yayde Kabbalah Sol Torah. But here, it's the positive, it's the acceptance, the willingness to accept upon ourselves the yoke of Torah. She Chuva Miava, which is a Chuva of love. Kechatan Biyom Chatunato, like a chasen or a kala on the day that they get married. As we've spoken about in the years past, Shavuos, we know, is a Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment. All of our ruchnius, all of our spirituality for the year, how many times we're going to be inspired by a shir on Sunday morning, on Na'aleh, on whatever we listen to, how many times are we going to be inspired in our davening, how many times are we going to be inspired by our chesed, how many times are we going to feel that neshama eloki pnimid, that inner neshama in us, all of this, just like our monetary aspects is decided in Rosh Hashanah, all our spiritual bank accounts is decided on Shavuos. And part of this experience of Shavuos is not only Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur as well. It's the ability to recognize that how do I make sure that I'm written in the good book? It's this mindset, it's this mahalach of being ready to accept the Torah. That when a person is ready, mirotzon, out of love, out of desire, to accept upon themselves the yoke of Torah. So Hashem says, I will consider it as if you've never sinned. And I write you into a book of somebody who desires the spiritual connection. Someone who desires to be able to grow in a spiritual way. So now the question that the Chazon Lomoyer asks is, what is this Kabbalah Ol Malchut Shamayim? How do we define what it is that we need to accept upon ourselves, that it is as if we've accepted the Torah? So he notes, based on the Gra, that there are three aspects of the Kabbalah. We'll see that the Chazon Lomoyer adds a fourth, which is based on the Birkas HaTorah, and this is based on the Gra. We say three brachos, Asher Bachar Banu, that Hashem chose us, Natan Lanu, who gave us the Torah, and Notein HaTorah, Hashem is the giver, present tense of the Torah. Asher Bachar Banu is relevant, is parallel to the fifth day of Sivan, when we were chosen to be Ve'item Liskula, a special chosen nation, and that was the day of the sprinkling of the blood, and this is the day of the Kabbalat Ol Mitzvos, the accepting upon ourselves the yoke of mitzvos. Then we have the receiving of the Torah Shebichtav, and then that's the Natan Torah, and Noseina Torah is the Torah Shebaal Peh, is the oral tradition, which is something that is written in the present tense, Noteina Torah, being continually developed, the Chidushei Torah, the Piskei Halachos, the Shailos and Tshuvos, constantly in every generation. The Chazon Lomoyer in source number 12 adds a fourth dimension, aside from the Kabbalah of Mitzvot, accepting the yoke of Mitzvot, aside from the Kabbalah of Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, the Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, there's also the Kabbalah of Midos, a proper conduct. Let's explain very briefly each of these elements. The Kabbalah of Torah in source number 13 is about, says the Chazon Lomoyer, as if we are makne our guf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if we give ourselves over to Hashem, like a person can sell themselves as an eved, and whatever the Rebbe, his master tells him to do, he's obligated to do. Likewise, in the Kabbalah HaTorah, we give ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu entirely, and whatever Hashem demands of us, we are ready to do. And that, he says, is the distinction between the Bnei Noach, the Noachite people, and the Jews. We're only, we are commanded on Mesiras Nefesh, on giving up of our lives for the sake of Hashem. Our entire beings are dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the idea that's found in Parashat Chukat, where Chazal say, Adam ki yamut ba'ohel, ein divrei Torah 14, mitkayimim ela b'mi, shemei mir atzmo aleha. This is the idea of person literally who dies in the tent. It means that for the tent of Torah, you have to give up of yourselves entirely. That's why the Mefarshim point out, why was the Torah dafka given in the Midbar in the desert, and not once they entered Eretz Yisrael and everyone had a comfortable house and vineyard? Because to show us that Torah is about expending effort and energy, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not easy. And this is whether it's a chiyuv for men to learn, it's a chiyuv for women to encourage their children and their husbands to be able to learn. And the women are obviously chayuv to learn those things that are halachas, that brings them to greater Yirat Shemayim as well. That learning is not done, you know, lying down on a beach chair with a martini. But rather, learning has to be giving oneself 24/7, recognizing that it's going to be a full-time aspect. And this is the difference if one walks into, let's say, the New York Public Library, where there's silence reigning. You know, if someone coughs, it's like, you know, you've committed the worst heinous crime. You know, like call the New York State Police immediately. And you walk into a Beis Medrash, you walk into the Mir Yeshiva, you don't have to walk into the Yeshiva. You can be walking a few blocks down, and you hear people screaming and yelling. You think there's a fighting, arguing match going on. There is that passion of Torah where people are ready to scream, yell to get their point across. It's the exact diametric opposite of the secular meaning of the word of learning. Here, learning and learning should be done out loud, takes, call it smosai tomarna. The entire being, Hashem Yikamocha. That's the aspect. It's not a passive aspect. It's a fullness of our entire being. And this is the idea of the Minhag Yisrael of learning all night Shavuot, that we're ready to show our dedication to Torah. This dedication, likewise in 15, is found in Geder Kabbalah Samitzvos. The Grod speaks about in the Pasuk in 15, Vatereki Mitameset, when Naomi saw it was difficult for Ruth to walk, she stopped trying to push her away from Judaism. What is this idea, mitametze? To sense a grot, when Ruth took upon herself the yoke of mitzvos, and she became weary and tired, then Naomi understood that Ruth had indeed accepted upon herself all mitzvos. Because it's something that's a yoke, it's a burden. It tires you out. It takes your entire energy. Torah and mitzvos are here as our goal. And we need to invest our entire being into the idea of Torah and mitzvos. The third aspect, the Kabbalah, is the Kabbalah of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And this is really the aspect of Amunas Chachamim. And he notes at the end of 17, Achachami kol adam omer, says in Kohelet, al tomar mahaya, don't say, oh, what was. Sheyamim arishonim ayu tovim eila, that the earlier days were better. Ki lo mechochma sha'al tal zeh. Bizman acharon kishmedarim al matzav hayarud shel ador, so often we hear about how our generation is such a low level, and we say, oh, if we had the Chazon Ish, we had Rav Shach, things would be different. Ha'emesi, the truth is in 18, Shekharish Baruch Hu Doeg, that Hashem is careful. And he worries, Shebachol Dor Vador in every generation, Yehamanik, Hamutam Utsarche Ador, that we will have the leaders that we need for this generation. As Chazal tell us, Herakharish Baruch Hu Lot of Arisha, Dor Dor Vador Shav, Dor Dor Vachachamav, Kharish Baruch Hu Shorat of Arisha, as well as Moshe Rabbeinu, every generation, their leaders, their wise people. Nishalat haShe'la leitzarech Barak Hashem Baruch Hu Kvar b'birat ha'olam et ha'manigim shebechol dor. Why did Hashem create those leaders now? And the answer is, he says, She'ein zeh mikra. Mihem ha'manigim shebechol dor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already at b'riyas ha'olam knew what the door of the generation would be like. Kedei she'manig yiyeh zeh she'ador zakuf lo. Based on our generation, that is the type of leader that we receive. And Hashem makes sure that every generation has its leader. Yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro. And so often what we have is people say, once a leader has died, achrei mos kadoshim emor. Oh, what a gadol they were. But while they're alive, no one treats them with that respect that's appropriate. So on Shavuos, when we're standing at the Kriyas HaTorah, and during the day of Shavuos, our mindset is on, we are the Kala. And as a Kala, we're ready to accept upon ourselves the yoke of Torah, the yoke of supporting those who learn Torah, the yoke of mitzvos, the yoke of Emunas Chachamim. And we are ready to accept these things as part of our contractual relationship with Hashem. And the final, perhaps on a certain level, just as important, is the Ol of Kabbalat Derech Eretz. As he notes in Source 21, Im ein derech eretz ein Torah, the Mishnah tells us, if we don't have midos, we don't have Torah. Which means, shetzarich tchila, we first have to work on the midah, and we have to work on working on ourselves, have shviras amidos. And then only when we have baal midos tovos, only then can we learn Torah and not the opposite. And we know, whether in Eretz Yisrael, in the public school systems in America, we know that midos is something throughout all the schools, but we try so desperately to teach kids. And so often we find ourselves frustrated. You're working so hard on midos campaigns and midos stickers and midos pins and chveis. Midos is really taught by example. Midos is really taught by the way we behave, and it's emulated, and it's modeled, both as parents, as well as teachers, and as well as individuals who interact with other people, wherever you may be within your own lives. And this is something to keep in mind. I know, as a teacher, how often students would come over to me in the high school setting and say to me, Mrs. Smiles, how do you explain that teachers talk about how bad Lashon Hara is and how not to embarrass people, and then they go ahead and embarrass the student in class, or we overhear them speaking Lashon Hara in the teacher's room. How do you explain these two things? And it's a very uncomfortable question. If we want to teach people Derech Eretz and Midos, it's not screaming at your kid, why are you screaming? That doesn't work. It has to be with us being the model, us being the someone to whom others would want to emulate. These are the things that we need to take upon ourselves. When Shavuos comes around every year, we have to say to ourselves, Hashem, I'm ready to dedicate myself to Torah learning, to mitzvos, to emunas chachamim, belief in the gedolei hador, as well as the importance of midos. And that is why he notes that the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which is all about character and ethical development, begins Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai. It's not something that, you know, people made up. This is Torah Moshe Mesinai. This is very much as part of Torah as anything else. And here, he notes in Source 23, that our Kabbalos are taking upon ourselves that this is what we want to accept, is the Bechina, is an aspect very similar to Klal Yisrael by Korban Pesach. Torah tells us, Vayachu Vayasu, Shvot Yudbek Kavchet. They went and they did. So says Rashi based on Chazal, Kevan Shikiblu Aleihem, Male Aleihem Akotuv Kiluasu. Once they had the Kabbalah, it's as if then, it's as if they had done it, even though they hadn't actually taken the lamb just yet. When we have this Kabbalah, when we're able to say, this is what we're accepting, and we're accepting it with a kala, like this kala, willingly, with ratzon, with desire, then Hashem will consider it as if we have actually done all of these things, we've been careful about all of these things, and then it becomes a Yom HaDin, a forgiveness of all our sins, like the Kala and the Chasim B'Yom Chupatam, where their sins are forgiven. My friends, I think we have to take this though a little bit deeper, a little bit further. And I think in my mind, this is the Yesod, this is a fundamental aspect of this year. If I had to distill it down to one or two ideas, it'd be right here. In another essay in Chazon Lamoed, he brings a very famous question of the Tosfot, where we have seemingly two contradictory Gemaras. One Gemara says that the first question asked in the Beis Din Shamala, in the heavenly court, is a sakta b'Torah, did you involve yourselves in Torah learning? And another question in Gemara Shabbos is, nasata v'natata b'emuna, did you conduct your business dealings with faith? So how do you reconcile these two? So based on an insight of the Klal Yakar, Chazon Lamoed offers the following suggestion in 27. Ulam l'divrei Klal Yakar, hashela asakta b'Torah, the question, did you involve yourself in Torah? Eina ma asita im haTorah, doesn't mean, what have you done with the Torah? Ela ma asta haTorah mimcha, what is the Torah made out of you? Haim orchot chayecha nishtanu, have your behavior, have your ways changed? V'naseh, this is a great word in the asterisk in 27, Toradik. Have you become a Toradik, a person, Olo? Im kein, in kan shtei shelos, not two questions. Ela bituya masila sakta b'Torah. But rather, the way that we can show whether we've been successful in our learning of Torah, he v'nasatim natatim b'emuna, to see how you are in your business dealings. V'zeh kol tachlis haTorah, and this is all essence of Torah. Sh'adam yafech lechefsa shel Torah. A person has to become a chefsa, an article of Torah. And this is our goal. The goal is not for Torah to be external to us. The goal is that we become a chefsa of Torah, that we think along Torah-dika lines. As we spoke about 2 weeks ago, halichos olam lo, in our ways, do I think Torah? Do I speak in a Torah-dic way? Do I respond this way? Are my mice and my actions this way? And that's why, my friends, when we're talking about the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos, yes, it's about receiving the Torah and receiving, you know, the rubric of the 613 mitzvot. But truth be told, as we've spoken about in the past years, these luchos that we received on Shavuos were broken. So what, in fact, remains from the Shavuos experience? Should not Shavuos really be on Yom Kippur when we got the luchos shnios, the second set of tablets which remained with us? What remains of Shavuos, what we're celebrating on Shavuos, is kervanu lifnei har Sinai, is the relationship with Hashem. It's what Torah is about. It's about thinking along Torah line. It's about recognizing the godliness within me. It's about how do I act in a Torah-tick way. And that's why whether one is up Shavuos night learning Torah, or when goes to a shir Shavuos afternoon, or learns on their own, or learns with a child, that is important, and that's wonderful, and that's our way of accepting that old Torah and that yoke of Torah, and we go out of our way to make sure that we learn Torah. Great, that's amazing. But it doesn't end there. It's about our whole essence is Torah Dik. And that's why the only real mitzvah sayom, not a minah, is a suda, is a meal to say, this is what I enjoy. I'm celebrating that I have the opportunity to be chosen each and every year once again as the Amskula, as a special nation, that I can be part of this system. And that every bracha I say, and every mitzvah I do, and every way I speak to my children, every way I interact, is a Torah-tick way. I connect to the deeper part of Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chvodo Ba'atzmo. That's what it's about. That's what it means to be a Kala marrying the Chassid. It's not just a Sefer. It's an entire way of life. And this says, the Chazon Lamoed is perhaps one of the reasons for having milchiks on Shavuos. I believe the Lekef Alibov quotes from the Chazon Sofer, if I'm not mistaken, that you should mamish have a cup of milk. So he quotes here the idea in 28 that milk from a camel is tameh because it's coming from a tameh animal. What is milk about? Milk is something that was part of a being, a creature, and then comes out from them. And that's the difference between milk and meat. Meat is part of something, but stops there. It's dead. It's no longer alive. Torah is milk. Torah is something that has to be part and parcel of us. And to be a Torah-dick, a person, is we don't keep it inside. We then give it over to others, and it becomes a life-giving force for others as well. That's the beauty of Torah. That's the beauty of the milk. To make it part and parcel of who you are. It comes from you, like a nursing mother. And it brings such a life force to all those whom we come in contact with. That's our goal. It's lilmod, almanat lulamed, almanat lishmor velaso, to learn in order to teach, in order to do. In order to be able to have such an experience of being a Torah Dika Jew, of the milk, of becoming part and parcel of who we are. So explains the Shem Shmuel, we're coming in the middle of an inyan in 31. He says, let us suggest that the Prisha and Agbala actually correspond to the two fundamental aspects of learning Torah. As we said above, knowing Torah demands that it should be indivisibly part of the person, like the connection between the soul and the body. When the Jewish people received the Torah for the first time, the intention was that they would gain a little divine by accepting it, thus transforming their physical existence. Total physical purity was surely needed for this, in order to discard any other connections, leaving the body open to unite with the Torah. To achieve this, they were commanded to separate from their wives for 3 days, spurning any physical relationships, in order to concentrate entirely on physical unity with God and His Torah. Once that was accomplished at the first Named Har Sinai, and has now become much easier embedded in our genetic DNA, this idea of union of body and soul. And that's why we don't need to do this separation, this physical separation between men and women. But the Parisha But the separation in mindset is still very much there, even today. The Shloshim Erbala beginning today is a time where we need to recognize that we have to open ourselves up to this closeness to Hashem. All the things that may distract us, all the errands that don't need to get done right away, this is not the time to do them. In my daughter's school, they don't learn Limudei Chol, they don't learn in math or secular studies, only Torah. Why? Because our focus is on how am I preparing for this relationship. The Prisha, the separation for us, is recognizing that on Shavuos we're being judged. And it's a Yom HaDin, a Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all wrapped up in one. It's a Yom HaDin on how much are we a Torah Dika person. How much is our lives centered around the model of thinking and acting and speaking like a Torah person. And in order to be able to be successful in this Yom HaDin, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to do this introspection of asking ourselves, where am I? Am I where I should be in terms of my goals, in terms of my deportment, in terms of my whole mindset in Torah? And the Prisha, the separation, is to take ourselves away from that which distracts us and be able to focus in on that which is crucial. So yes, preparing a Yom Tov Seudah is crucial, but we should do it singing. We should do it with this feeling of how fortunate we are that this Yom Tov Seudah is celebrating how excited we are to re-accept the Torah. The cheesecake being done with, we want to become like this milk. We want to be a Torah Dika person and be able to give over this Torah and this whole aura of Torah to others as well. And for that, we need the Prisha, the separation, to be able to focus on what's crucial and important. The second aspect of being this Kala, of being this bride ready to accept this wonderful relationship, is taking the first level and being able to concretize it a little bit more. Again, the Sichos Bavat Hashem Rav Meislish in source number 33 speaks about that every year we go through that our souls are asked, Mekadlu Matama Torah, do you want to receive the Torah? And every year our souls respond, Na'aseh V'nishma. We will do and we will understand. And that, my friend, which was the great secret in 34 and 35, that was the great secret of the angels, that they were given two crowns, the Jewish people, one for Nasa, one for Nishma, that they went back to the level of Adam Arishon. That aspect of Nasa, the Nishma, we will do and we will understand, has to also become part and parcel of who and what we are practically on Shavuos. As Rav Rice notes in source number 37, the ideals, gamim hein yuskavim kechol sheyu, as great as lofty as they may be, ein b'hem koach l'shanot mitziyut, can't change a reality. We are found in a mavoch, in a maze of inclination, and in a hitmodedut, in trying to deal with tov hara. V'yidia sichli greida, and just intellectual knowledge alone is not going to help you to be successful. It's only doing the mitzvot, which will be able, l'saref et abrio, to be able to purify us. And this is the idea, the famous piece of Sefer Achinuch, of acharei ha-maisim nimshochim ha-levavot. After our actions, our hearts are drawn, we need to be involved in the olam ha-maisim, the world of action. And that's how he explains that the left horn of the ram from the Akedah Yitzchak was used to blow the shofar of Mamad Har Sinai. So what's the connection between the ram and the Mamad Har Sinai? So okay, we saw this idea of a Sirus Nefesh, of giving yourself entirely, which is very much a theme of the Akedah. But one of the ideas that's brought down in the Svarim is that Avraham Avinu been told, stop, don't sacrifice Yitzchak. Taking Yitzchak Avinu down and they would have gone home, the whole Akedah would have been missing its essence. Because as great as the thoughts of Avraham Avinu had, and this year Gedaliah speaks about at length in 41, it's not enough. You need to concretize thoughts into the world of action. Because unless you do that, it shows a deficiency in the level of thought. The ayah, the ram, was that concretization. It was bringing it into the world of the real. And as Rashi notes from Chazal, everything he did to the ram, he says, it's as if I'm doing this to my son. You need to be able to move from the world of the spiritual, the world of the being inspired, to the world of the practical. And that's why the Noam Elimelech in 41 on the left-hand side in the arrow notes, Vayivakad Seolav Ravina, when he heard about the Akedah, immediately chopped down trees. Why doesn't he wait? The Ramban asked this question as well. The Rav Noam Elimelech of Elimelech Milutinsk notes that Avravinu knew that he was feeling a tremendous passion at that moment, a tremendous Isavarus, a tremendous awakening. And you need to take this awakening and put it into the world of the action, the world of doing, the world of the Maisa. You can't compare thought to action. And here, Masisyahu Solomon, source number 43, said, our sages teach us anyone whose action exceeds wisdom, his wisdom will endure. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that a person who fulfills the mitzvot, even though he's not yet fathomed the reason and deeper meanings, will seek more knowledge about how to improve his observance. He will also want to better understand what he does. On the other hand, when a person's wisdom exceeds his observance, he will eventually stop learning entirely because his knowledge is merely abstract. It does not result in action. In fact, he may eventually stop observing as well. And this, moving back to the previous page in 38, it's a beautiful idea that the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak ben Berdisha, notes on the Ramban, on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, in Ta'irim, in Ta'ruah, Ta'avad, She'techpat. Says the Kedusha Slavi, when a person has an inspiration, it happens to be on Shavuot, this piece. It could be an inspiration of Ava, of Yira, he's inspired to come closer to Hashem. He says, immediately, Yera'ela so lakli, make for it a vessel, give staka, learn Torah, say Tehillim, do something. Because this Hisa'orus needs to have something concrete. Needs to have a kli, a utensil, within it, it can reside. So it's not completely lost, and it just doesn't dissipate into thin air. My friends, this is what Hashem wants from us on Shavuos. It's not just enough to feel this love, and to be able to say, Nasa v'nishma, and I'll take on these kabbalos, and I'm ready to give myself totally to Hashem. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us what's so crucial on Shavuos, it's the nasa part, it's the doing part. It's to be able to take the sabaros, the excitement generated, to take the inspiration. And obviously we need to create this excitement and inspiration with one's family, whether it's making, you know, Torah cheesecakes with them, whether it's decorating the house with flowers, whatever it is, decorating one's home with pitganim, with saying, feeling this excitement of receiving the Torah. But then it's back down to practically doing the mitzvot on Shavuos itself and doing them with passion and doing them with enthusiasm and recognizing the importance of the nasa, the doing aspect. There's a wonderful story. I forgot which war it was about. The story told about a person who's in a suit shop. And as he's looking through the suits, he hears the proprietor of the store talking to an army general. And the owner of the store says, I haven't seen you in a while, and now, Atalo Vesh Kippah, you're wearing a kippah, what happened? So this army general tells, his commander tells the following story, which this person overhears. He's in some Sinai campaign, where he's with a group of 6-8 tanks. And they're going down the Sinai Desert, and everything was quiet, and they're a really well-trained group. And suddenly, really out of nowhere, around 60 Egyptian tanks come out of nowhere and begin to encroach on them. And this commander said there was no way that we could do anything. We were totally outnumbered, and it happened so quickly that they couldn't even call for help. So he gets on his mic, for all the tanks, and he says, that's it, we're finished. So there was one young fellow in this tank who was a firm fellow, and he says to the commander, "Have you given up?" This isn't like an only in Israel story. So the commander says, "Yeah, I've given up." So he says, "Do you mind if I take over?" He says, "Sure, I have nothing to lose." So the guy gets on the mic. He says, "I am your new commander for the next couple of moments. This is the plan. Ready? On the count of three, I'm going to count to three. We're going to close our eyes. We're going to say Shema Yisrael with all of our might. And we're going to then shoot one round. Everyone got it? Yep. Okay. Ready? One, two, three. They close their eyes. Shema Yisrael. Boom. They open their eyes. And lo and behold, they see the Egyptian tanks stopped in their tracks, getting out, waving the white flag of surrender. So now the real commander takes over and says, okay, come out with your hands up, you know. And he says to the head of the Egyptian fleet, he says, "What happened that you surrendered to the six tanks?" So the Egyptian commander said, "It's not the six tanks that we were afraid of. It's the 20 airplanes overhead that worried us." And this general, this commander says, "I looked overhead and it was a clear blue sky. There was not one plane in the air." And later when they called the army base, not one plane registered on the radar. "My friends," he said, "after an experience like this, you can't but become frum. You can't but believe that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a God in this world. My friends, we don't need a story to be in the Sinai Desert with 60 Egyptian tanks on us. Every time we see a little baby born, every time we see a baby smile, take the first steps, we see a child learning Torah. Every time we see the miracles around us, the Almisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, Shavuos is about an awareness, an awakening of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, how alive and well the Chassan is in Hashkocha Prati, in divine intervention in our own personal lives. And our job is to be able to open our eyes like this commander did, but to see it within our own lives and be able to say Nasa V'Nishma." And Shavuos is celebrating this reality of Ein Od Mavado, there's no one but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want to give my whole life to this world of Torah and Mitzvot, to this world of Nasa V'Nishma. And that's the essence of Shavuos, is to be able to recognize the Chassan. You could be sitting next to him on the bus all year and not recognize him. To be able to be in this Cheder Yichud and realize this is the reunion of father and son, of husband and wife who've been estranged, who haven't appreciated what one has done for the other. And here, the Nasa V'Nishma even goes one step further before we get to the last idea of Hakbalah. After Matisyahu Solomon in 44, were the Jewish people smart in saying Nasa V'Nishma will do and then understand? Perhaps Hashem would have asked them to do things that are difficult, like Lashon Hara. So Sefer Matisyahu, the Jewish people understood that whatever Hashem was going to ask of them, that the requirements of the Torah, they knew that the receiving of the Torah would transform them in 44, they asked for it, that would make them, infuse them with new strengths and power, so that the difficult and the impossible would suddenly not only become possible, but a way of life. They understood that now that they're getting married, they're not doing this alone, they're doing this together. And that which they couldn't do by themselves, they can do together. And this is the theme in 45 to 47 in the Sefer, Marche Lev by Rav Schwab, or Moshe Schwab from England, where he says, you know what Nasa V'Nishma means? It means even when we don't feel like learning, even when we don't feel like doing chesed, even when we don't feel passion in our doing, and even when we feel it's going to be difficult to do it, and we're not sure how we're going to be successful. Nasa V'Nishma means that I understand that Hashem is going to be with me. And as Rav Pinkus notes in source 49 through 50, that when we do, the ratzon, the desire comes. It's doing the maaseh, it's doing the action, the nasa, that's going to then engender the ratzon, the desire. But we have to understand that when we take this relationship of chassan and kala, we have to understand, and this is so crucial, that we're not doing this by ourselves. So often we believe that we're carrying Torah and mitzvot on our shoulders by ourselves. And what Hashem wants us to do in this yoke of mitzvot and of learning is just overwhelming. How can I possibly do this myself? And I've said this many times, preparing every shiur, and I hear it from Chani, who does such an incredible job. I stand in awe every week on her summary. She feels the same way, like it's overwhelming. How do you begin to summarize such a complicated shiur, some weeks are harder than others? And both of us say, but we're not doing it alone. It's Siyata Dishmaya. And this is what we have to feel on every step of our way. Shavuos is honing that idea in of Nasa V'Nishma, where we're making a statement. When we do, the Nishma will understand, will be able to be successful, because we're not doing this by ourselves. We're doing this with that helping hand of the Siyata Dishmaya of Hashem. If we just summarize, and then we'll conclude with our final idea. Shavuos is about the Chasen and Kala coming together. It's about Hashem expressing His love, giving the Torah, which is an expression, Kivyachol v'Kadosh Baruch Hu Himself, over to us. And our response has to be the Ratzon, the desire to accept this Torah, and not so much to accept this Torah, but to accept this relationship. To have the acceptance of the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebaal-Peh, the Kabbalah of Mitzvot, the Emunas Chachamim, the Midos, and that we have to be a Torah Dikka Jew, that we have to think along Torah Dikka line, that we have to become the milk to take in and give out. We can't have any distractions. We have to focus ourselves on this mission that we have in front of us to be ready to stand on this Yom HaDin, the day like a Chasen and Kala where our sins are forgiven. But if that's not enough, we have to recognize that this relationship is a Nasa relationship. Hashem doesn't want us just to think and contemplate and meditate. He wants us to do. And the doing means to be able to take this inspiration and bring it to the world of action. Shavuos is a time to awaken ourselves to all the chassadim, all the kindnesses that Hashem does, and be able to infuse us with this desire to move forward in our relationship, and in particular in the aspect of action, of doing. But there's a danger a person may say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's helping me, I'm not doing this alone, and action is so important, so let me just do, and I'll even do above and beyond where I'm holding, I'm just going to do and do. And that's where the Hagbalah, that's where the second aspect of boundaries is about. Lekach Lalibov in 51 brings the idea that we say in our davening, that the Malachim are Mekablim Ol Machut Shamayim, that they receive upon themselves the yoke of kingship. What does this mean, the yoke of heaven? So the Avnei Nezer explains that every Malach has a Gvul, has a boundary, unto where they can go, unto which place they can come close. Just like the Degolim, the flags of the Jewish people. And this is the Inyan of the Hagbalah, of making a boundary around the mountain. Says Lekach V'Libov in 53, the Shavuos Rechim Lerot Lekabel Ol Torah. Yes, on Shavuos we have to accept the yoke of Torah. The Hainu, which means the Chelek HaSiya, the action. Shehua Ol Shal Torah, which is a real manifestation of the yoke of Torah. V'Shavoda Tiyeh Be'emes, but it has to be in truth. Lefi Darga Sa'adam, based on the level of the person. V'lo L'chapes Tarim Shehem L'malam M'madregato. But don't go way beyond your level. Because that's not called truth, and this is not going to have real everlasting effect. And that's the idea of the Hagbalah, that there are boundaries, that a person has to understand, and Balei Tshuva know this so clearly. Do you want to just take on everything? And you take on everything too fast, unfortunately, sometimes people crash. If a person is not holding by saying the whole Sefer Tehillim three times a day, that's not where they should begin in the Olam Asiya. If a person is not holding and doing certain things, and that's not the level that they're on, that's not the place that they have to add. One has to make sure that the level one is on is strong and move up step by step in incremental steps. Yes, doing is important, but to start to do things that are way above and beyond where we're at, and it's going to affect our family and our children, making dinner for somebody every night of the week for months, it's very nice, and great tzaddikas maybe are able to do it. But people with very young children, their focus needs to be in the chesed, in the home, and making dinner in a balanced type of way. That's the hagbalah. That's the boundaries. To know what we're capable of, what we're capable of moving slowly forward in, and where we have to know this is the line right now, and this is where I'm going to move toward. Obviously, every year, constantly, we have to push ourselves and daven for siyata d'shmaya, but it has to be done with seichel. To move way too fast, it's not going to be a level of kiyum, of lasting, and it's not a level of emes. And I therefore leave us with a bracha, that Emir Tzah Hashem, as we sit on our kivyachol buses, our egged buses of Shavuos, as we sit next to Kadosh Baruch Hu in our homes and in shul, that we are able to recognize our long-lost father, that we're able to have that emotional reunion and connection, and that we feel that excitement of what it means to be a kala, what it means to encircle our chasen, that there's no other mindset in my life but to be able to work with my chasen and being able to build that bayis ha-yehudi, that home of love, and that home of a Torah dikka home, of a chalav dikka home, of a milk dikka home, where my whole essence is about doing the Ritzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, the Ahava, with love, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu should bench us in return to be the Chassan who's going to help us out in all of our endeavors to have Hatzlacha and Bracha, and that we'll have a Mechila Gemura and be written for the book of Ruchnius to the utmost degree this coming Shavuos.